Hey guys, welcome to Bright Owl Politics. I'm your host, Ariana Mendez, coming to you from Miami, Florida. Definitely an interesting first 7 days of the year. I was really hopeful for 2021. I hoped that there would be some sense of normalcy. We would be transitioning out of this COVID and highly divisive environment, but no, it's worse. And the dynamics of our relationships with each other is so much more strained. The country is divided. The fact that a disgruntled mob laid siege to our nation's capital and were able to breach the main chambers, those holy chambers where our country debates our laws, debates significant changes, and essentially run congressmen and senators out of the door is a really traumatic sight. The images are horrible. And as an American, I'm going to say this. I denounce violence. It doesn't matter if it comes from the right or from the left. What happened on January 6th in Washington, D.C. was wrong. Political violence begets political violence. It does not advance anybody's cause. And everybody who breached the Capitol walls should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, period. My heart goes out to the family of the veteran who lost her life during that siege. And she was in DC protesting the election results. And for whatever reason, she was compelled to go to the Capitol building and she was shot by Capitol Police. Very sad day. She was a patriot, seemed like a normal American like you and me. And it was a very, very sad state of affairs to see a person that young being killed in that manner in our nation's capital, in the Capitol building. So again, I cannot emphasize this enough. Violence is not the answer. We need to debate. We need to very strongly debate our differences, but violence and terrorizing our fellow Americans is not what this country was founded on. And I want to make that categorically clear. So if there's anybody out listening out there and says, oh, Bright Owl Politics is justifying the riots in D.C. this past Tuesday, I want to make sure that this is clear. That is not our purpose. It is not our objective. Bright Owl Politics denounces the events of January 6th in D.C. Everybody who laid siege to the nation's capital should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, period. We have a lot to cover today on the show. We have Carlos Fernandez. He's back. As you guys know, if you've been listening to our show on the long term, Carlos is a friend of the show. He's also a historian, and he wants to talk about what happened on January 6th in D.C. and what is the political impact of that? What is the long-term impact? And I have to warn you, usually Carlos and I are on the same page, but not this time. It was testy. It was, I think we, in the spirit of things, we agreed, but we saw the outcome and the reaction to the events as slightly different, and it became heated. And we were talking over each other, and it kind of emphasizes how divided we are, even amongst people we agree with. So without further ado, let's jump right in.
Hello.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm great. So how do you like your 7-day free trial of 2021?
It couldn't be crazy. It is just as crazy as the first, you know, as the first few weeks of March of 2020.
Yeah, I thought this year was supposed to be better.
Oh yeah, okay. This year has started off with a bang, so to speak.
So the last time we talked, it was before the presidential race, and we made some predictions, and both of us have to eat crow. As far as those predictions, wouldn't you agree?
Well, we were both, yeah, absolutely wrong, if that's what you're saying.
Yes. So let me ask you this right out of the gate. Was there irregularities at all, or you believe that it's the true will of the people that Biden is our next president?
I don't think. Okay, so here's take it away from all the politics. Let's just go straight to the logical, more honest discussion on it, right? So it's the first election we ever allowed people to vote outside of precincts in their own home without any verification other than a signature. And
You mean a mass, because in one form or another, absentee or mail-in voting has existed in several states for a while, but you're talking about something unique as the mailing out, and in most cases and in most states, the
okay,
mass mailing
so
out of ballots.
okay, so let me rephrase this and let me be very clear, because obviously you're going to defend your way of voting. So this is very clear. The peep mail-in ballots, the way that they were committed this year, have never been committed ever in American history, by no means. There has never been this mass mail out of ballots. Absentee ballots exist, yes, and they're required and necessary for a lot of Americans. But they have a vetting process that has been tried and proven for the last 30 years, if not more. Mail-in ballots, as far as I'm concerned, as well as I know, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, all you need to do was provide a signature. Am I wrong?
Well, here's the thing,
Am I
because the
wrong?
state,
No. Am I
not,
wrong?
no, it depended on the
So,
state. It depended on the state.
no.
I
I didn't
can't.
ask the state, I asked you. Did you have to provide in terms of identification for your vote?
Well, in Florida, I can only speak for Florida because that's the state that I
I'm
live
asking
in and I
also because I
vote.
know you mail-in voted. So my question is to you, what did you have to provide for yourself as point of verification?
I'll answer if you let me.
I
You
don't
ain't
want to hear Florida.
masterfully.
I'm just saying I
Well,
don't want to
that's
hear Florida.
well,
They
you
do.
don't want to hear it because we have the best mail-in voting system in the country. But in Florida, how it works, you go online, you request it, you have to enter in a series of credentials that includes your birthday, your address, and you request it that way. Once you get your vote in the mail, it is actually has double packaging in the sense that there's an out an inner envelope, an outer envelope. You go through the ballot, you complete it, and then you have to put it in an envelope, insert that envelope in another envelope, and sign it and send it in. And they have my signature in the system, and they're supposed to compare the signature on the actual on the exterior envelope to the signature in the system, and that's how they verify that the vote was cast by the correct person.
Okay, so by that means, and I don't mean to pick you out on this, but my viewpoint is that anything that you, if the only point of verification after the fact that you've applied for your voting, for your ballot, is a signature, then fraud is absolutely going to happen. I mean, I'm not saying that fraud was so much so that the election could have been tossed away for
So
Trump.
here's the
What I'm
here
saying is
I'm
that
gonna call you out on wait on that. You
sure,
can't
I went in
talk
person. You could talk to me
no
all about you want, but I
no
went in
no
person.
you can't talk from both sides of your mouth. You're trying to have your cake and eat it too. You're trying to tell me, oh well, considering what the requirements are, fraud is possible. Now, massive fraud like that, well, I don't know. Which one is it? Was there fraud or was there no fraud? Yes or no?
Okay, so that's a say. Oh no, I can answer that based on Medicare fraud. Is there massive fraud of Medicare and Medicaid to the point of destroying the entire system? No, but is there Medicare Medicaid fraud on an annual basis that we have to consider in part of our entire system of Social Security? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's just part of the system. If you're gonna make it easy, people will do it. And if your only point of verification is a signature, people will do it. So it's
Okay,
not
so
about
what's
whether there was fraud or no. It's
what
not about whether there was no fraud or fraud at all. The question becomes is the fraudulent amount necess it was the amount of fraud committed to a point where we can say for a legitimate fact that this president lost the election, and losing more than one state, if this was only one state that we were concerned with, if this was two states we were concerned with, if this was even just three states we were concerned with, then I would say that this is a fraud situation that's beyond measure that we have to consider in part of our election process. However, he lost in five. So my concern is that unfortunately for the president, unfortunately for our party, He lost. So yeah, can I ask, so can I legitimately say yes, there was fraud? Can I say that there was mass fraud to the point of no return? No, of course not. Everything with moderation.
You seem to be having your cake and eating it too, but I'll let it go.
So you're saying there's a lot of Medicare fraud that is it destroys the entire system?
There's a lot of fraud that happens.
But
The
is it
claim,
you,
the
but
claim,
is the issue not, that's not my question. Is it enough?
Let me, no, because here's the thing. The whole issue in this election is whether there is fraud. You have one side that says there was absolutely no fraud, and you have the other side that says there was fraud, multiple instances of fraud. Here's the evidence. You can't say, yes, there was fraud, but according to you, not enough, because that's not the argument that's happening right now. People, there's, it's black and white right now. It's, was there fraud or was there no fraud?
Yeah,
There's no battle.
that's the short term game that we're all playing that is stupid. Long term game, we have to consider these facts and we have to consider these things. We cannot fight things. See, this is where the Trump is wrong, and this is where I think most of the party is wrong. We can no longer answer the question of whether or not this situation is horrible and this situation is stolen now because it's done. It's done. Whether we like it or not, it is finished. We don't have a leg to stand on anymore. And we cannot pursue this question anymore. And we cannot allow violent actors to commit the rioting and the
No, wait,
incursion that
wait,
happens
wait,
in
wait, wait. We're not
DC.
there yet. We're
Oh,
not there
I
yet.
am
We have
very there yet. I am
no, we're not
super
there
emotional
yet.
about this topic.
No. We're not there yet because we actually have to make our way there. So your position is there was a little bit of fraud, but not enough to turn the results, correct?
What I am saying is that fraud was available to happen, but yes, you're correct. There was not enough fraud to overturn the election results that we saw in November.
Okay. So, based on that, did you support the president's at least attempting to bring attention to his perceived instances of fraud?
I believe that every single lawsuit presented to the Supreme Court, I don't understand why the Supreme Court has denied every aspect of every lawsuit. And I can only hope that the Supreme Court will listen to the Texas lawsuit that directly sues Pennsylvania, which is within exact jurisdiction of the Supreme Court's purview.
Do you think Republicans did enough to support Trump publicly in since the election to bring attention to those claims of election fraud?
I think that Republicans were caught with their pants down, especially when they lost a specific state like Georgia, which is considered not a very blue state. So in their perspective is, and I think that, with a lot of avenues, it's like, what do you do? Do you go against these cases of fraud? And I think there's a lot of Republicans that did, right? 11, I think it was 11 attorney generals from 11 Republican states all sued the Supreme Court, if I'm not mistaken. Am I wrong with that? Please remind me if I'm wrong with that.
No, that sounds about right. But here's the
So
thing
are you
that
saying the party didn't defend him when 11 different states with 11 different Republican attorney generals all sued the Supreme Court to
I think
defend
this
his
local,
fraudulent?
I think the state politicians did their job. He had no support on the federal level except for a handful of politicians.
Well,
McConnell only gave him lip service to his claims. That's the
unfortunately,
reality of it.
I an unfortunate.
Wait, wait, wait,
Okay.
wait, 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 wait,
I
wait,
have an
wait. Let me
answer. I
talk.
have an answer to that.
No, okay, well, wait your turn. So McConnell only provided lip service. And if it wasn't for figures like Ted Cruz, who considering the relationship between Ted Cruz and Trump historically and how acrimonious it started and how it ended at the primary level 4 years ago, considering that Ted Cruz was the only one, call it because of political survival, call it but because political ambition, was the only one that actually legitimately came on the national stage and said we should listen to the president, we should consider these claims. No other major national Republican figure of real importance actually came out in support of those claims, or at least having the discussion on those claims. Lindsey Graham, who had been a supporter of the president, gave platitudes and lukewarm responses to the cause and was very quick to say, count me out, after a group of protesters decided to lay siege to the Capitol. A group of protesters, not the entire MAGA movement, a group of protesters, and somehow held the president accountable for that because somehow he incited that violence in Graham's position. So you have here Republican Party leadership who absolutely decided, okay, we're not going to support the president's claims, yet is surprised when something like what happened yesterday ha takes place because people feel that their voice and their concerns are not being heard. And that's a disconnect between party leadership and the base and people that support the president, which seems likely that the Republican Party is going to have to go through another period of reckoning because there is a significant difference between party leadership and party membership. Go ahead.
So we don't believe in federalism.
I don't think it's about
Oh,
federalism. You're talking
absolutely.
about
No, 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 no,
institutions.
no, no.
You're talking about
No, no, no,
institutions.
no, no,
I
no,
am
no, no, no,
talking,
no, 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 no,
these
no,
are
no, 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 no. At the end of the day, elections, unfortunately, are not run by the federal government. They're run by every state government. So therefore, federal elected officials don't say a lot about state government run things because they're separate. That's the beauty of our dualism. We
You're
have
talking
a
about
federal government. No, no, no. We have a, you had your turn. Now I get mine. I'm a conservative who believes in dual federalism. My perspective is very simple. The states were allowed to sue each other. The states were allowed to make their cases to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court denied their right to be heard. It is not my concern as to what the federal elected officials have to say, because federal elected officials have their hands tied based on the Constitution. Article 2 clearly states the federal government, all they have to do in a sense of formality is to certify the election. They can object all they want, but at the end of the day, their hands are tied. They are not supervisors of elections. They never were. The states are supervisors of elections. And it doesn't matter whether McConnell or any federally elected person to Congress is going to make any claim, because at the end of the day, the federal government, and I will speak to anyone who's listened to this podcast, no federal person at all has any right, has no say in what happens in federal elections in each state, because each state decides how each federal election is to occur and how it is occurred and how it is counted. So
So I'm not talking.
to
So
me, no, 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 no,
to
no,
answer that,
no, no,
no,
no,
because you're
no.
gonna filibuster. No
I've
way,
no.
Carlos, you're gonna filibuster this. This is my show, so I'm gonna cut you. Let me respond to that briefly, and then you can
Sure.
proceed. Here's the thing. Procedurally, you're correct. I agree with you 100%. The point I'm bringing up about party leadership is that you cannot, and I repeat, you cannot say to a base party membership, 74 million people, who have the leader of the party saying that there was massive fraud, and that you provide no substantive support, because there is some things that can't be done on the federal level. A special prosecutor could have been named immediately after the election and appointed to investigate those claims. That is something that on the federal level could have been done. There was no Republican on the national level asking for that. Can the federal government intervene in state infrastructure and how the state counts votes? No, I agree with you. That is up to each individual state. And the next step forward for election integrity is to lobby state legislators to put safeguards in place to make sure that if irregularities did occur, we'll use that, if irregularities did occur, that does not happen ever again. But what I'm talking about is party leadership, party consistency, and how the Republican Party leadership essentially left Trump to die and to wither, and then are surprised and confused when you have people upset about that avoidance and very quickly wash their hands of the President of the United States after they've been using his influence and popularity the last 4 years to peddle their message. That is the problem. I agree with you. We're on the same page as far as it, as practically what happens, but the problem is that is not what is at stake here. It's about what happened, the disconnect between the base and the leadership. Your response.
I think the leadership could not have done what else he wanted them to do. McConnell didn't name them elect, actually, he didn't even name Biden president-elect until late into November, as you recall. I think that if you think in terms of party leadership, in terms of anything else, I think that Trump, had he just kept his mouth shut and continued suing the Supreme Court, like any good person would do in his situation, and continue to make those arguments against the Supreme Court and bring it to state legislators, instead of telling his entire base and our base really that this election was stolen from us, maybe we wouldn't have lost control of the Senate, and maybe we would still have some say in the federal government. But guess what? We have now lost everything. We have lost any hope of basically tempering this White House come January 20th. They will have unrestricted rule for the next 2 years. So we're clear. Unrestricted rule for the next 2 years. We have lost Georgia because we've told all of our people that there was massive fraud and that there was no way that Biden could have won this election. Therefore, your vote no longer counts. Therefore, why vote during the runoffs? Because they're going to cheat anyway. So therefore, what we have decided to do as a party because of our party leader is to say to everyone, you know, it doesn't matter if you're enthusiastic anymore because we're all going to lose anyway. And I think that the burning bridge, the bridge that was already burning, you decided to nuke it. You decided to provide more arsenals towards that bridge, and you have decided to make the bridge practically a desert. And now we are totally, and unfortunately, I'm going to say this very clearly, the next 2 years are going to be brutal. They're not going to be fun. And they're going to be basically an insult after injury after insult after injury because we as the party have failed. And I mostly blame that to the president. And that's how angry I am. Just so we're clear, we should not have lost Georgia in the Senate races at all.
Okay, so let me cut in there for a second. Two things. Did the president potentially make a mistake on concentrating on election irregularities while campaigning for the Georgia senators? Yes, I'll give you that. Should the focus have been to get out the vote and reestablish legitimacy to the process? Yes. The problem is you can't say that there was irregularities and that there's a problem in a state like Georgia. And at the same time, tell people go vote. Your vote is going to count. That doesn't work. It's actually contradictory. So that's the problem. You cannot, as in Trump's position, you are encouraging people to vote. You're trying to get out the vote, but at the same time, you're telling them there was irregularities. This is my proof. The election was
Well,
stolen.
even if
That's
there were
disgusting.
irregularities, now that we've lost the Senate, there is no way to investigate that anymore because there's never going to be a situation where the Republicans will even be allowed to speak on the matter. If let me be very absolutely clear,
Right.
we have shot ourselves in the foot so bad. I mean, it's not even shooting ourselves in the foot. We literally caused ourselves a heart attack. And now we're in a coma for 2 years because we are no longer to have a say on the federal government level. Again, it is absolutely this president's fault, because if I were in his position, I would have kept quiet about voter irregularities, made sure I had to.
It's
Can I be
not
clear? Can I be clear?
it's
Can I
not
be
Pierre.
clear? No, you can't cut.
I'm
You
gonna cut
cannot
you
cut.
there. It's not Pierre. Wait, yes, I can. Yes, I can. You cannot say it's purely his fault.
I
And
can.
I'm going to re you can say it's he was that he did not help the cause, because I will agree with you that coming out there and saying this is the election was stolen, and then in the same sentence saying go vote for Loeffler and Perdue was not helpful. But I have to disagree with you as far as that it was purely his fault, because there was other issues with those candidacies. And if there was fraud, and if those systems there in Georgia are not correctly in place, it didn't matter how many times Trump was there campaigning. If the results were already baked in, they were baked in. So I agree with you. Was his campaigning there and the way he was campaigning helpful? But I agree. But the problem is that Perdue and Loeffler had their own set of issues there that go beyond
Okay,
Trump.
so let me put it very clearly, and let me put it more dynamically as to why it's his fault. At the end of the day, we're talking about Georgia, and we're talking about Georgia with a whole different set of circumstances right before November 11th versus January. And fine, I could, if the candidates had some fault to them, fine. I can understand where their issues were at hand, and there are certain situations. If their only issues were the fact that they were defending the president, and the fact that the president was saying that there was fraud, and they defended the fact that he thinks that there was fraud. And again, even if that were to be the case, in my perspective, had I been president and had I been a very intelligent person or a person who wasn't as vindictive as the current president is, it's very simple. I would have kept my mouth shut about the voter fraud situation, made sure I had two Republicans in the Senate that were going to maintain our control, because that means I can then ask the Senate to look into voter fraud issues. And guess what? The Senate would actually have to actually accept it because our party's in control. But now, doesn't matter anymore. Who's going to investigate voter fraud when you have the entire freaking federal government under democratic rule?
But doesn't your position, in fairness, and we know we love you here at Right Out of Politics, isn't your position a bit contradictory? Because previously you had said the federal government played no role, and that it was up to the states to change if any changes
No,
were
but
needed.
but it is a federal
And
crime to m commit fraud. So therefore, you can investigate it, right? But you can investigate it only when you can set up a commission, which you need a re Senate controlled panel to c set up a commission to investigate something. Hence why there was a special prosecutor for Trump when he was elected president in 2016. Therefore, you have lost every right to investigate. I'm not saying I'm asking for an investigation. I'm saying that the very means of which you've said on this show to actually investigate the voter fraud situation, you have lost everything based on the fact that there is no Republican dominance in any chamber to provide the adequate votes to merely ask the question. So now, for the next 2 years, who cares? No one is going to ask the question. We're not the party in power.
but for the last 9 weeks, it was that same attitude. Who cares?
For the last 9 weeks, I think that a lot of Republicans were just trying to maintain control of their own seats. And I think that in a lot of ways,
Yes,
in a lot of ways, well, I don't
selfishness.
think it's selfishness. I think it's long term. I don't think short term game, nor do you. I think in terms of in an I've lost the presidency, I don't want to lose Congress, because the moment I lose Congress, I lose any legislative ability to maintain disorderly conduct of the government. So for example, what is to stop Biden or the squad or any of his leftist ideas from coming to fruition for the next 2 years? What obstruction can we commit? None. We don't have any votes to obstruct anything.
And the only way that they're going to regain control is they actually have the support of the same people they have left in the
No.
gutter.
If the president starts actually acting and saying the things that he needs to say, like, it does not matter that I have lost,
Well,
it needs to be, yeah.
Trump is done. The page is turned. So we're talking now about the future, to your point, to the future. The same people that these Republican politicians have thrown in the gutter in the last 24 hours, because apparently we're going to judge an entire movement by the actions of a few. I guess the talking points from the summer are ignored completely, as people around the country in the summer months burned, rioted, and basically destroyed neighborhoods. Those people were said, "Oh, we need to contextualize the violence," and there are
I'm
peaceful
not a hip I'm not
protesters.
a, no no
Well,
I'm not a
compared to
hypocrite. I did not like what happened yesterday night, and I'm not going to excuse it. I am not going to be here to suggest that there was some microdom of understanding of it. Period. I despise what happened in the summer, and I despised what I saw last night. It is a laughing stock of our nation to allow that to have happened. And on top of that, I am not a Democrat. I am not going to hypocritize the question, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite here to say, well, we're going to provide a understanding of the violence. What happened yesterday was wrong. What happened during the summer was wrong. And there is no such thing as clemency, in my understanding, or any understanding of that matter, to be of let me just give excuses to the violence. There are no excuses.
So this is my position on that. The people who laid siege to the Capitol destroyed a fragile moment in America at that time. Already temperatures were high, people were upset, and by deciding to break into that Capitol building, it embarrassed us internationally and it put our democracy in peril. There is no excuse for what happened yesterday. There is no justification, and history will remember that day in a very somber way. And my heart goes out to the family of
Of the young lady. Yeah.
the veteran, yes, of the veteran who was shot, because that woman should not have died yesterday. And we pray for her and we pray for her family because her death should not have happened. And that is something we can agree with. And I think as a country, we need to move forward and say no to violence. With that said, I think this is important to say. But if during the summer we were told that the actions of a few could not color an entire movement, for the press and for the left and for Republicans now to say that what happened yesterday means that every member of the MAGA movement is a domestic terrorist, that is improper and disingenuous. And the reason why Republicans, if they don't quickly change that attitude, are going to find themselves alone because the base has supported them. The base that is the heart and blood of their party does not appreciate being called a domestic terrorist because of the actions of a
No,
few. And just like I said, that violence is not excusable. We cannot say that an entire movement of over 5 years can it is that moment and those people that entered the Capitol. That is
no, and I
disingenuous.
think that's a whole different argument, but here's my here again, I'm not going to be a hypocrite about it. The situation is very simple. The same adjectives and arguments I would have against the BLM movement because of those people that basically destroyed businesses and caused a lot of strife. And I'm thinking of Kenosha in the very recent memory, as well as what happened in Seattle. They certainly may have been the quote unquote were few violent people, but at the end of the day, unfortunately, those violent people will mark the mass majority of what we represent by you. And I'm not saying that every MAGA person is like that. I'm not going to argue that. And not at the same time, I'm a MAGA person myself in a lot of ways. But I also think that the moment that your movement turns violent and does something that is that atrocious, you have lost every argument. You lose every basis for who you are in terms of a movement. And therefore, you are now castigated this way. It is absolutely understandable how even Northwestern state representatives went crazy bonkers angry about this because they were saying, and they, I mean, I remember him saying, I took an oath by God, and God, and that oath was to uphold the Constitution. It is my constitutional right. I'm constitutionally bound to certify this election. And those people were right. They actually have the, they don't have, they do not reject electors. That's not their role in government. So in terms of those, and it's besides the point, the issue is very simple. Yes, there were a few bad apples, and those bad apples shouldn't represent the majority of the movement. But at the same time, we also have to acknowledge that the wound has been cast, the die has been cast. You just lost your it's like when I go to debate with someone and I use the an ex, ex an expletive to win the argument, you may have had all these great arguments, but you screwed it all up by using an expletive, right? So same situation goes here. You lose the argument. It doesn't matter how good the argument is, but if you decide to incite violence, it doesn't matter how few.
Yeah, but again, who incited it? When people say, when you decide to incite violence, was it the president? Because that seems to be the accusation flying around.
I dis
Show me
uh,
where. Show me the
no no
tweet. Show
no
me the
I'm
videos.
not saying no,
Then he
I never
incited the
said the
violence.
president incited violence. Actually, on the contrary, I think
No, I'm asking
no,
you.
I
I'm
on the
asking you
contrary, I think the
because
president.
this word keeps being thrown around. Incited violence. Who did it?
No.
Was it the president of the United States, the
No.
leader of the movement? Show me the text, the tweet, the video that is consistent with that, because I
No,
haven't been able
I
to
agree with
find
you.
it.
I agree with you. I don't think the
So.
president incited anything. But what I'm saying is that the moment the movement becomes violent is the moment the movement loses its actual argument.
But that doesn't actually seem to actually match re more recent movements, because BLM became violent and it's still respected and it's considered a
And not
mainstream
respected in, it's
cause.
not respected in
So
Florida.
there,
We didn't allow.
no, there's plenty of people. There's plenty of people that
Okay,
support
but people
BLM in
supporting
Florida.
it versus what the actual state governments are allowing for are two different things, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's very
Sure.
simple. The BLM movement has failed in a lot of ways because no legislative agenda was ever passed. Nothing happened statewide unless you're talking about the very few cities that decided to defund their police and now they're all having issues because of it. But aside from that, the BLM movement failed, and the BLM movement failed was because it became violent. And so therefore, it's very simple. When your movement becomes violent, you lose your argument. You lose every legislative ability to provide for your argument because there is no major Criminal Rights Act that was passed during the BLM movement. There was no major overhaul of the Justice Department that they were asking for. None of that happened. Just like, guess what? The electors were certified last night. So it didn't matter how much we argued or how much the people were violent and went into the Capitol, Congress still did its job.
As it should, and that was a good day for the American institution of democracy. But I think there's a practical component to this. There's a present day component. There's a political component. But all these different parts just show how divided we are, even within our own party. Because here we are, Carlos, you and I usually are have similar opinions. We may disagree recently, but this actually became kind of, testy today. And if it became testy between us that have known each other so long and share the same political points of view, and we've been members of the same party as long as we have, that shows you the damage not only yesterday, but the last 9 weeks has done to our relationships as members of the same party. We look at it differently. We see it differently. The analysis is different because it has impacted
Well,
us that much. And I
I
think,
was just going to say, I
yeah, go
think
ahead.
that at the end of the day, no, I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is that I think that we're all trying grieving. I think we're all grieving. I think that we're all trying to deal with the fact that we lost this election and that we didn't have to. I think that a lot of us feel that we should not have lost the Senate elections. And I think that's what grieves me the most because what really hurts and what's really going to hurt is the next 2 years. I am so concerned about the next 2 years. And I think my.
So part of me is concerned, but also part of me is like, if to use your argument, if there was fraud but not sufficient fraud to overturn the election, then this is the will of the American people. So folks, hang on tight. It's going to be a bumpy ride. And when things start happening and your liberties are starting to slowly be peeled away in the name of safety, because that's what Democrats are going to do, and your taxes are hiked, and big government makes a comeback, and big tech starts to censor you more and more because it's 1984. This is what people voted for. This is the will of the people. So, as a Republican, it's going to be a very scary time to observe and to be part of the American family. But there's part of me that's going, WTF, you people voted for this.
Yeah.
So, let's go. Let's see where
No,
you
that's that that
want to take this country. It's time
you're
for you to
absolutely right.
take
You
the
reap
lead.
what you sow, and I get that. But at the same time, you also have to consider the fact that I think that most Americans, I feel, and I think my boss put it the best way, it's going to be a very expensive 4 years. It's going to be more expensive than you can imagine. And that goes to everybody. I think that's expensive in the terms of what they're willing to do in terms of aid for the American people, but at the same time as to how much they're going to spend for everybody. And at the same time, what it's going to cost each individual American when they hike taxes to pay for all of this. So, it's just going to be an interesting 4 years. It's going to be an interest. I hope and I think that if Biden does a lot of legislating in the next first 2 years, we're going to regain the House easily in the last 2 years of his presidency.
I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure about that, because if the rhetoric is we're going to disown the MAGA movement and try to kick out the Trumpers from the Republican Party, and we're trying to go back to the party of McCain and the party of
Oh, they
Romney,
can't do that.
Republicans will continuously lose election after election. They're going to try. You already saw it last night with Lindsey Graham. I'm out. How many times today haven't you heard a Republican talk about how we need to move forward from Trump? I've been watching Fox all day, and that seems to be the consistent message. And the base of the Republican Party, the 74 million people that voted for President Trump, who are the activists who went out to vote, who did the legwork, why would you want to put in your time and dedication to a party that is saying, well, you're deplorable. We don't want you. Bye-bye.
Hold on. I think that if you look at it in certain ways, I think that you have to understand that a lot of Republicans yesterday were in very high emotions, and to a certain extent, they're still in high emotions. I'm still in high emotions as to what happened yesterday, as you can probably tell from the very beginning of this conversation. So I think that you're going to get a lot of hostilities about what happened yesterday. And I don't think that the Republican Party has to look in terms of what happens to us after Trump. I think that Trump is a brand that I think is important to understand. It's important to consider. But at the same time, I look at what Trump stood for, and I completely agree with everything that he said in terms of policy. And we have to hearken on his policies. We have to hearken on who he is as an individual in terms of trying to get us to move forward and move with that. Is it hard to do that without the man? Yeah, I think it's very hard to do that without the man. But at the same time, we have to consider the fact that this man created an entire coalition of people that won us the election in 2016, and that same coalition only it didn't diminish, it actually grew during 2020. So if we continue building on that coalition, I agree with you. We should not be saying to people who are part of the MAGA movement that you're terrorists. I'm just saying that MAGA people, you're still in control of the party, but we need to move forward. How do we do that? And that's the biggest question mark, right?
Well, and I agree with you on that. And I want to speak to MAGA people out there. I voted for Trump in 2016, and I voted for Trump in 2020. I know you're MAGA people, I know you're upset. I know some of you may feel that the Republican Party has betrayed you. I know that some of you may feel that your efforts were for naught. But listen to me, and please do not leave the party. Do not disenfranchise yourself from the process. If you leave the table, the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, the McCains, the Romneys of the world that are still in the party, that were waiting in the shadows, waiting for Trump to go away in order to try to reassert control, will take the party away from the base and will try to bring us back to the failed policies of the past and the failed rhetoric of the past. The advancement that has been made to make the Republican Party a more inclusive party will be overturned. Do not leave the table. Do not leave the table. Please, I understand your frustration. I understand why you're upset. But if we can move forward as a party and hold politicians accountable and make sure that Trump's legacy is preserved, you cannot leave the tent.
I couldn't agree more.
So, Carlos, I'm going to say this. As an American, I'm very sad about what happened yesterday. As a Republican, honestly, considering what I'm seeing, I'm not very hopeful that party leadership is understanding what is happening in the country right now. It's very for me. I like loyalty. Loyalty for me is very important. And Democrats really understand that concept well. They get their lock, they lockstep in every time and very consistent. And Republicans have always had, in recent memory, an issue with lockstep and consistency. And it's showing now. As last night, as they resumed the debate on the electoral votes certification, it was clear that there was a difference of philosophy. Republicans gave insipid and uninspiring comments, while Democrats used the opportunity on prime time to lampoon the president. There was not even a handful of Republicans that came to the president's defense last night. So that is a problem. And that's why people in the MAGA and the base are upset with the Republicans, because they are showing they have no backbone and they're only interested in political expediency. That is a huge issue going forward.
No, and there are certain elements of that that we have to think about right now. It's just, I think that we as a party, I think we need to take a little vacation, come back together, figure out what makes us tick. I think that to consider that the MAGA movement will be kicked out of the Republican Party, I mean, almost every state government situation has been completely governed by MAGA people, so I can't imagine that would be easy. Trump has changed the Republican Party forever. There is no such thing as going back to the Rhino situation. Those people always lose their elections, and we're not going to go back to that. So in those terms, yeah, absolutely, I agree. I think we can't disenfranchise these voters, and we have to hear them out, and we should definitely hear them out. But let me be very clear. Violence will never be accepted with me. Violence is the first way of losing every respect from me. So in those terms, and I understand it's not the majority of the movement, and I'm part of that movement. We're part of that movement, even if we were established Republicans before voting for Trump. But violence is abhorrent to me. And it is without any question that I will never, ever, ever give any excuse to it. And it was very sad with what happened yesterday. And if the Republican Party does want to move forward, we have to have the MAGA people with us, because there is no way in hell we're going to win in 2 years without them. But at the same time, we all need to wake up to the fact that we need to learn how to win elections again, and we need to get smarter with it than anywhere else. And I think that the other problem is you're going to find is we're going to have a very big power vacuum. Trump was a huge powerhouse, and to fulfill his shoes in party leadership is going to be hard.
I don't think people are underestimating Trump again. He's not going anywhere. He understands his power, and I do not think that
he will
quietly into
and if
that.
He's and if he's party leader in 2024,
and he will continue.
I will vote for him in 2024. Not worried about that.
To your point, though, and I really want to make sure that it's clear to our audience, political violence begets political violence. It's an unfortunate reality. This is not the American way. We vigorously debate. We go to the polls. We have clean elections. We certify votes. We have a new president. This is how it's been. This is why our founders put the Electoral College in place. What happened yesterday was an attack on those principles, and it looked more like a banana republic than the great American experiment. And there is no excuse, and anybody who tries to contextualize that, I will criticize on the right, just as I did to the BLM sympathizers who try to contextualize the violence over the summer. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. With that said, I think it's tremendously unfair to say anybody that who was at that march and was trying to protest the perceived irregularities and ask for election integrity to be painted with the same brush as the people who climbed the walls of the Capitol. That's disingenuous, and that's an attempt to try to discredit an entire movement of over 5 years. Trump will come back. Trump will continue to be a force in American politics. And anybody who thinks the contrary does not understand the MAGA phenomenon nor his supporters. To Democrats, I hope you try to push through every policy that you want, because you have the will of the people. And it is your turn to govern, and it's your turn to face the wrath and accountability of that position in the majority. My personal view is you hope that the country will do well, because it is our country. But you and I both know, Carlos, what the policies are going to be. We've heard this all before. So I'm hopeful, but not optimistic that the next 2 years will be anything but a disaster. And we will see. We will see how the Republican Party evolves from this. But I caution party leadership again. Do not, I repeat, do not try to disenfranchise the so-called deplorables, because you will never win another
And I
election
couldn't agree
again.
more. No
So,
problem. I
Carlos, thank you
promise to
for
be
coming
more
on the
lively
show.
and more joyful next time. I just, yesterday was so emotional for me.
Well, it was lively. We literally got at it, so it's okay. We still appreciate you here. We still love you here. That just shows if it's happening between us and like-minded people, of course it's going to happen on the national stage. It's that controversial. It's that touchy subject for people. So it's to be expected, but we are Republicans at the end of the day, and we'll move forward together,
The
and I'm
party will
hopeful of that.
survive. That's my hope. Party will
But
survive. We
people
will
can.
gain control in 2 years. That's my next goal. We will gain control in 2 years.
Yes, that should be the objective, and hopefully we can get there. But we'll see. I'm not too sure based on what I'm seeing right now that we can do that. So I hope I'm proven wrong. Thank you for coming on the
Thank you.
show, and we'll talk to you
Bye.
soon. Hey guys, thanks for listening today. And I want to emphasize this again, we're all Americans. We need to be able to work towards a state where we can at least talk to each other. With that said, for those people that want to blame Republicans, want to blame MAGA supporters, you do so at your own peril politically later. And I think Republicans really need to take a hard look in the mirror and evaluate who they are as a party, because if party leadership decides to abandon the Trump platform and the Trump legacy, you will find that they will have a hard time winning elections in the future, because MAGA is the activist wing of the Republican Party. It is what ensured that Trump got over 74 million votes. And those are not numbers to dismiss. It's not a movement to dismiss. And if Republicans do so, that they do at their own peril politically. With that said, the magnitude of the events that happened on January 6th show that this country is at an extreme fork in the road. We have to decide what kind of country we're going to be. And there's a new administration coming in, and I wholeheartedly believe that if the votes have been certified, Mr. Trump needs to, as he has said he will, oversee an orderly transition of power. And President-elect Biden needs to be given an opportunity to lead once sworn in. With that said, I know Right Out of Politics is going to continue to hold politicians accountable, and we will continue to push our message of free markets, low taxes, individual freedoms, and most importantly, putting America first. That's not going to change. It doesn't matter if it's with Trump in the White House or with Biden. That is our platform. We'll continue to push for that, and we'll continue to try to educate new listeners about what the conservative movement is about and what does the future look like. So we're enthusiastic about the future and optimistic, because we believe that it's possible to move forward from this, but we will hold Republican politicians accountable. If you try to go back to the politics of the past, the politics of McCain and Romney, you will not be rewarded electorally. People like me who are active on the party will hold you accountable. And that should be something that every Republican politician should understand. Because if you try to become Democrat light, the base will abandon you and you will not win another election. So, guys, keep your head up. Things will get better. We have to be optimistic about it. I love America. I love our listeners. And if you're listening and you don't agree with my political views, I still love you too, because we're Americans. We need to be able to focus on the important things and allow us to be united on when there is a crisis. But that doesn't mean we stop disagreeing. It means we move forward in healthy debate. So, guys, take care, and we'll talk to you next week.